Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you with us here on the program, whether you're listening on the broadcast or the podcast or watching and listening on the video cast on YouTube. That's right. We're on YouTube. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, and many other locations with our podcasts. And the broadcasts are Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m., as well as Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. That's a special edition of Tell Me Your Story. That's 9 programs, 9 opportunities to hear 9 different topics from 9 different guests. There's got to be something there. Maybe our guest might be able to share a little with us about that. We'll find out. Maybe not. But nonetheless, we're glad to have our very special guest with us as well. And we'll introduce her in just a moment. I want to remind you also that if you are able to do so, to support us financially, we have a PayPal account. It's there for your security as well as ours. And when they ask you for the email address to whom you're sending, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. We also ask that you take time during this, the decade of perfect vision, to go within to that quiet, peaceful, calm, still place where no one else can go. I learned years ago, looking for that place here on the planet, that if I could find it, so could everybody else. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, there is a place that no one else but me can go. Or is it no one else but I? We won't go there. But you can get perfect information. That's why we call it perfect vision for you, for your life, and your health and wealth and happiness, inspiration, encouragement, education, or just maybe just someone to talk to. In any event, we hope you'll do that during this, the decade of perfect vision. Our guest today, very special guest with a website, Vibrant Living Now. Hey, I like it. And maybe we'll even throw in Thriving. I remember when I was looking for moving on from survival to thrival, thinking I had created a word, thrival, and I looked it up. It's already there, but that's okay. I was excited about the fact that I discovered it. I didn't create it, but I did discover it in Webster's. And that's what we're looking for, a vibrant, thriving life with our very special guest, Daniela Boomen. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome. And it is such a pleasure to be with you and share with our listeners today, Richard.
I have to say that, and I'm going to try to stop using that phrase, I have to say. No, I don't. I don't have to say anything. It's a phrase that I guess is just kind of stuck in my, stuck in my vocabulary. You have a book that we're talking about as well, Gliding You Home, which is a rather interesting title. We'll talk about that as well. You're wanting to help people and empower them to experience basically an exuberant whole life success and live life in the flow. We have a gentleman here on the Central Coast, Billy Mandarino. He refers to himself as a nowist, living here and now. Is that kind of where you're coming from in this regard, that the best way for us to live a vibrant life now, to quote something I just heard a moment ago, that's really what we have to sort of master in a manner of speaking, that will help us to achieve that, living a vibrant life right now?
I love how you put that, Richard. Yes. When I originally was looking for this website, that's probably at least 15 or 20 years old, vibrantlivingnow.org, not .com, I was looking for something that would embody the work that I do here in service of humanity. And to me, life has always been about the vibrant living, the vibrance, the pulse that life in itself vibrates on a daily basis, whether we look at a flower or at a person. Everyone has a different charisma, right? people and flowers and animals. It's all a vibrational state. So vibration, it's all about tapping into that higher vibrational state of vibrant living now. And of course, that vibrance is not found in the past or in the future. Because then if you're in the past and you're in the future, who is in the now here? No one, right? So it is found in the now. And, you know, everything really does happen in the now. But we spend very little time in the now. We spend a lot of time in the future or in the past. But we spend very little time in the present moment. Our mind, our programmed mind, like you were just starting your conversation saying, I always say I have to, right? Well, where does that come from? It's from a way of already being, you having through behavioral, you know, through habits, being used to saying it that way for the last, 20, maybe perhaps even 30 years, right? It's already like preconditioned. It's become habitual. And habits often, of course, are unconscious.
Yeah.
Unconscious. A deliberate creator creates from a more conscious state of being. And that is coming from the now moment, creating from the now. The now is not preconditioned. It is unencumbered. With any expectations of the past, from the past or the future.
I'm curious as to the moment. I love using the word catalytic. The catalytic moment when you realized, I am not happy in the life I'm living. I have to make a change. And then, of course, discovering what it was that you needed to change or how you needed to change and so forth. Tell us about that.
Well, so what specific part are you referring to in terms of needing to change?
Well, what is it that started this process, wanting to share with others this aspect of living a vibrant life now?
Sure. So from an early age, I felt life was a very vibrant journey. And so I've always been in touch with and very passionate about helping people to live their full potential, their innate potential. So I've always had the overarching desire to influence human growth potential. So from an early age, I would walk around in Switzerland and I would think, why aren't these people walking around automated? Like they're not in autopilot, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at my own life at an early age and then started to basically analyze and see, I don't want to live it that way. I don't want to go around in the way everyone goes around, not generally speaking. Of course, there's always exceptions, and just kind of be in this automated state of living. And so I decided at a fairly early age, when I was 18, that I was going to come to the United States before I started my degree at my school in Switzerland. And there was a whole nother horizon that opened up that I was able to explore, expanding that horizon to what is life really about. So it wasn't per se that my life wasn't happening. It just was not as aligned as it could be. And I needed to take that step to that next level. That was a long time ago when I started to really work with vibrant living, again, helping folks to tap into their innate potential. And the way the dolphin gliding you home, the dolphin's book came about, that was a whole nother evolution after that.
Now, does that share with us that you are connected with the natural world in that regard? I I know a lot of people have spoken from the perspective of the non-human creatures on the planet. In your case, it's the dolphin, and you refer to it as the sacred dolphin wisdom. How did you make that connection? What was that event like that said, oh, this could be something here. This is exciting. I'm
right.
thrilled about this.
Right, exactly. That's a great question, Richard. So what happened was throughout the years when I became a speaker and then coach and a life enthusiast and exploring life and seizing life. And I may have seized it just a little too much because I was burning the candle at every end, both sides. And going back and forth to Europe and traveling with jet lag. I started to do seminars in Switzerland and having clients in Switzerland while I was also taking care of my parents' aging journey. So I had sort of reached a part in my own evolution where I was kind of going up, you could say, Richard, the ladder of my own evolution of what was working in my life and what was no longer working. And my body also, when we evolve, just like when we take an airplane or become a pilot, we can't go up to different levels unless we've learned how to go there and stay up there. And the body goes through that as well with physical symptoms or ascension symptoms as the nervous system is fine-tuning. So as I was going through that, I started to have a lot of nerve pain, started to experience what you may call burnout symptoms. But it was also a lot of nerve pain that was assisting me to slow down and allowing my nervous system to adapt to this new evolution of spirit, of mind in my human vehicle, in my body.
Right.
And so I had experienced quite a stretch, Richard, of nerve pain that would be at times quite debilitating. And usually I'm quite good overall at managing my own energy. And there came a time where I just couldn't do that anymore. It just felt very overwhelming because it had been too many days in a row. And so what happened was I was literally sitting on the couch and I felt like I was just going down into the oceans, and it felt like I was literally picked up by the highly intuitive and intelligent dolphin consciousness. And so it was an incredible experience because when I came back, I never was the same due to the fact of what they shared with me, their sacred knowledge that they shared with me. And a lot of the filters that I had had as a human had been taken away. So I had to reintegrate all of that information of what I was giving, of what I thought I knew, in many ways really no longer applied. And I was very much playing in between the worlds until I could start to more solidly ground that energy and do what the dolphins asked me to share.
You know, I had a guest on my program just recently, a young man. And of course, if they're younger than 65, 64, I suppose they're younger. But this was a young man still in his teens. He wrote a book from the perspective of an 18-year-old about self-mastery. And we were talking about the ocean. And I'm curious from your perspective, from a metaphorical perspective regarding the ocean. He talked about how the ocean is, you see the surface of the ocean and all the waves and the currents and all those kinds of things. And that's kind of where a lot of us are living, on the surface, and we're being moved by those currents and those swells and the waves and all of that. But when you go down into the ocean, you have other, maybe more subtle currents, and you go deeper and you go deeper and you find new and exciting things. And if I'm not mistaken, it may have been as they had traveled down to the Mariana Trench, which is supposedly the deepest place on Earth, they were able to see life that we didn't even know was there. We didn't even know it could exist at those depths of water pressure. So that was rather fascinating. So let me not go further into that, but let me ask you in that regard to your perspective on the metaphorical aspects of that body of water that I had to get close to. And that's one of the reasons why I live in Santa Barbara.
Yes. So the ocean in itself is a whole nother world. It really is a whole nother planet in itself, right? And it is one that is very much helping the human to induce the kind of flow state that the dolphins talk about. Because when we, you know, even are near a water fountain, right? Or we are taking a shower or a bath, or of course, if we're in front of a body of water like the ocean, it really helps us to dive deeper into that flowing component of water. Because in the ocean, everything moves and intercommunicates, interrelates, interconnects with each other, which is a big part of the dolphin's message of unity consciousness and flexibility and adaptability, cooperation, right? Mm-hmm. So when you watch the ocean and you dive deep, you can see how there goes the shark, there goes the little fish, there goes the algae, right? It's all moving and interrelating simultaneously. And the ocean offers such an amazing way of diving into it without having to think about it with your mind. Mm. You're just able to absorb it and go beyond the intellect, into the power of your being, into, again, the now here.
Daniela Boom is my guest. VibrantLivingNow.com is the website. We'll have her continue here as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and it's really a pleasure to have Daniela Boom on the program talking about her journey and the challenges that she has faced in her life that have brought her to bring to you and I this wonderful book that we're talking about as well. And we certainly hope that you folks will go to her website, which, ladies and gentlemen, we will be linked to. I want you to know that. We encourage you to go there and find out more about the work that she is doing through this work called Gliding You Home, which seems to me an appropriate terminology, an appropriate term especially in regards to what you were sharing with us about the dolphins. And I know that there are a lot of people on the planet who want to swim with the dolphins. And there's part of me that's going, will you please leave them alone? You know, they're just trying to live their lives. But at the same time, would you acknowledge that, hey, they're here for us. They're wanting to help us. And it's okay if we share some space with them in that regard?
Yes, I think the desire that folks have to swim with the dolphin shows the need for the connection, mm-hmm. right? It shows the need for that connection of interrelating, of joy, of unity, of everything that they basically embody. However, they do like their space nonetheless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They definitely like their space. They are not people, right? Now, interestingly, I've spent a lot of time with the dolphin consciousness, hours on end as I was channeling this information. I don't have a desire. I know it's kind of interesting. I don't really have a desire to swim with them because I feel so close to them. you know, I don't have that desire. So we don't have to go into the ocean to connect with the dolphin consciousness, because it lives within a part of all of us.
Mm-hmm. So, so basically you have connected with the dolphins in more of a spiritual, almost, correct me if I'm wrong here, almost telepathic manner. Would that be accurate?
That's correct. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And you've been communicating with them for how long?
Probably for about 2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How has that communication, aside from obviously being able to bring this this work into fruition, how has it changed your life? How what has manifest in your life that has made this experience so significant for you?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've been living my life for quite a while already, living my dharma, the purpose of what I'm here to do and how I'm here to serve. However, I think as a human being, our ego is always involved in one way or another, and we do need a healthy sense of ego nonetheless. And I think, you know, this was moving me more into a not as a spiritual direction as this one. Mm-hmm. And it's not that that wasn't good. It's just the dolphin consciousness really wanted me to dive much deeper into living my life, even increasingly from the seat of my soul. And that required for me to let go of some old ideas or attachments or things that were just no longer apropos when you start to live from a higher timeline of what is necessary on the planet as we are building this new world now. What is necessary in the now? Because at the beginning, I was like, you want me to do what? You know, I'm a life and business coach and speaker, and you want me to write a dolphin book? You want me to do what? So having the courage to dive into this realm of my ability to connect telepathically with the dolphins, as the intuitive I already was in the business world, mm-hmm. just a whole nother level, was definitely taking, in quotation, the bull by the horn and saying, okay, I'm doing it. I don't care. Some people may think I'm crazy. It doesn't matter, because this is helping folks to tap into the power of who they really are. And not just for them, but for the whole of humanity, of really coming forth and living our truth in building the new world, as long as we are not hurting anyone else.
I want to ask you about another sea creature, because it's been said that I don't know if they rival, and I know there's no intent there to rival, but I want to ask you about another sea creature that is considered to be extremely intelligent, but also has a very short lifespan, and that's the octopus. It's not only intelligent, it's clever, it's very unique and creative. Especially, I mean, one of the most amazing things about it is its ability to mimic its surroundings to hide from predators. A chameleon, I guess, is the next, the land-based critter that the octopus might be akin to, in terms of its ability to match or change its outer appearance to match its surroundings to hide from predators. I find that very fascinating. But I'm curious as to any connections in that regard, maybe either independent or even through the dolphins, that, hey, they've shared with you that we're not the only ones down here. You know, we're not the only ones out here that are wanting to help humanity to evolve and raise the consciousness of themselves as individuals, as well as the planet.
Yes, definitely. They have never claimed that they are the only ones. As a matter of fact, this reminds me of a session I had with a client. And as I was working with her, and with her particularly, I worked a lot with the information, with the wisdom I was given from the dolphins, because I have my prior book, High Performance Without Pain, 7-Step Blueprint to Reclaim Your Vibrant Life and Get Even More Done. And that was the prelude to the second book. They both work alongside to create that flow state. But as I was working with her, suddenly an octopus appeared
Really?
to share her with her the need to adapt, to be agile, to move to within, her own personal life challenges that she was going through. And I'm like, what? This is interesting, because I really didn't expect it. Now, another aspect to your question is, at the very beginning, when I first was familiarizing myself and starting to befriend the idea of what I was supposed to do, the one message I got consistently was that this book was about interconnected, interrelated communication. And so, this whole interconnected way of being, right? That this is really about all of us and all those that are particularly leading the way in assisting others in their own self-mastery. And so, of course, your creature is part of that.
And one of the sad facts, of course, and I bring this up only because it is kind of a sad fact that we're not taking really good care of specifically the oceans, the waterways in which we operate, if you will. And it's putting these creatures, the dolphins, the octopus, or is it octopi? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Octopus.
At risk, and so forth. And I'm wondering about any messages that or things that they've shared in that regard with you, that it's not a question of, okay, here's what you need to be doing. It's like we already know what we need to be doing. How do we encourage others so that the process of the population of those doing what needs to be done grows, can do just that, that it can grow. Because I've long believed, because here's the argument I've heard on the part of those who are not necessarily climate change deniers and so forth. And I basically say that I'm throwing out the science. I don't care about the science. What we should be doing is taking care of our home. That's what we should be doing. It's not about, you forget about the science. There's no science involved in doing that, because I remember as a kid growing up, Gabriella, Daniela, that my mother would say, okay, we're all gonna spend I want you all to clean your rooms. And then that she would give us each a task, or my father would give us a task. Okay, Richard, you're going to go mow the lawn. Mike, you're going to go pull the weeds in the lantana garden, et cetera, et cetera. The girls would go off and they would do what mom would ask them to do. And it wasn't demanding, don't get me wrong. It's just we were a team collectively, and that's what we did. I mean, that's just how it worked out. So from the standpoint of taking care of our home, are they giving any guidance in that regard to where it can be a safer place both for them as well as for us?
Yes, I really like your example there, Richard. Growing up as the youngest of four children in Switzerland, my parents were entrepreneurs. We were very much taught to, I mean, we all had our chores. That was the bottom line. We did not grow up entitled. Everyone had to do the dishes. I even mowed the lawn. We were all part of that. And I think the more that we each learn within our own lives to, you know, sweep in front of our own door, so to speak, take care of our own affairs, that will definitely help with that. Now, their key criteria is to let people know and assist people through this guide, through this evolutionary ascension guide, is to move through their own self-mastery. And that, of course, that starts with self-awareness, becoming aware that your actions actually have consequences, hence karma. You create karma. The more self-aware and the more you move into your own self-mastery, the less karma you create, because things are not going to have these kind of repercussions. So as far as the dolphins are concerned, there's a whole chapter at the beginning of the book that talks about their journey and how what they've experienced and the grief that they've gone through in terms of how it has affected the state of the ocean or captivity or their zoos, such as SeaWorld, et cetera, has affected them. Yet they also talk about, because they're very connected to each other, they're a very cooperative species. And they also though do talk about the importance of evolving your own circumstances as they have. They're not mad at the human. They realize it's all on track and evolving as they are needing to go swim to higher shores in order to rise above those circumstances or evolve above those circumstances. And so as the human does that for him or herself, they too, in their own self-mastery, can then claim responsibility for the good or the trash they leave on planet Earth, karmically speaking.
Yeah, that does seem to be also an issue as well, the whole aspect of the karmic trash, as you use that term, or as they use that term, if you will, that there are certain segments of, I guess, every population across the planet that one segment of the population is a victim. It's somebody else's fault that I am the way that I am, or I live the way that I live, and so on and so forth. Then there are those who are just kind of gliding along and almost unconscious, just going through the motions of living their lives. And then there are others who I'd like to consider myself among these, although I can't say that it's 100% of the time yet. I'd like to get there, where I understand that I am 100% fully responsible for the life that I live, the life that I have, that I've been given, and that I have not only an effect upon myself as an individual soul, as well as human being. But I have a responsibility to humanity at large for my, and I guess I should take it down to this level, my thoughts, my words, and my actions, that they all have an effect. And I guess, as it was also mentioned in this other interview with this young man, he brought up the butterfly effect. And I've seen a number of movies and a couple of television programs on this, where they'll start out in the first, say, 15 to 30 minutes of the program. It's an hour long, and they'll tell four different independent stories. All right. And then as the program progresses or the movie progresses, each of these stories starts to intertwine with the other three, and then the other two, and then the other one. And you begin to realize we have an effect, not just on ourselves, but on the lives of everybody maybe that we come in contact with, and maybe that we don't. You know, how do I know that I'm not impacting the lives of people out in the hinterlands of China or the Brazilian rainforest, the tribes down there, et cetera, et cetera? Are you finding, and I'm wondering about the connection the dolphins have to the planet as far as their awareness of, that more and more people are starting to wake up, even though we are getting more and more people on the planet. In other words, the population continues to grow. But are we seeing more folks who are starting to wake up and realize their role and their part in where we are today and saying, this isn't really where I want to be? And as I've said on this program about looking for those new ways of living because the old ways don't work, just look around. It's not saying, let's get out of here because this is an awful, icky, hey, this is a terrible place. Oh, no, this is actually a beautiful place. But there's always room for improvement. So is there that connection the dolphins have planetarily to mankind that they've shared with you that, hey, keep going. You're starting to gain momentum. More and more people are waking up, and it's not over. And matter of fact, in one sense, I guess it's never over in that respect.
Absolutely. That's the main reason why they wanted me to share the book and the information in this guide. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle of it is Gliding You Home, a Dolphin Stream of a New Earth, Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential, a Practical Guide to Evolving Your Consciousness for Personal Growth and Fulfillment. Mm. Right. So they are very much aware of what is happening on planet Earth. And of course, they love planet Earth and the mother, as I call planet Earth, being a nature child, being very connected to planet Earth and the changes that she has experienced through the ignorance of the human, of course, through we are reaping the consequences of that, of course. And so they are really wanting to give the human support, hope, but also clarity of transformation to no longer continue to repeat the same patterns of thinking and evolving as it is all disintegrating, right? And hence, there's more people now going through perhaps what you call the dark night of the soul, or realizing this purpose is no longer happening. Mm-hmm. I was passionate about it, and suddenly it is leaving me cold. It is because this is more a survival of the spirit, of the soul, of the human, that will continue to hold that vibration, to continue to keep up the evolution. And so they were guiding me to, if you don't mind, Richard, I read just a little part out of the book in Please. Reference to this question. And they were guiding me to that because, and it's called Patterns No More. So it's this, there's actually beautiful, fun drawings inside mm-hmm. the book. So Patterns No More. And of course, we have gone through this tremendous phase of COVID-19 and a variety of other things that are really making people have to look in the mirror and question what it is that they are actually still believing. Mm-hmm. They are believing in, and why And to what extent they're actually taking themselves seriously in the process of their own self-mastery versus going along like a sheep or a victim and become a deliberate, masterful creator. So here is the a little part of patterns no more.
Okay.
All is well and is as it should be. Nothing is stagnant and has a rhythm and the flow. And what has been suppressed before is bubbling up now through the surface and through your body to be released and pushed out forevermore. You will now let go. Not just your own past, but familial and ancestral orchestrations that have moved through your ancestral lines of evolution. Not unlike the ley lines of the earth, which can and are apt to change through this current immersive transformation to formulate or move toward a new grid. As we've mentioned before, nothing is ever stagnant. Even though due to your own evolution, and its speed or lack thereof, it may appear that way. Just like within the oceans in which we play and live through joyful perceptions, no wave is ever the same, yet it may appear to the naked eye to be so.
Beautiful. Daniela Buhman is my guest, and we're talking about the work that she has put together called Gliding You Home. Love that title. It's a dolphin's dream of a new earth, unlocking your spiritual potential. It's a practical guide to evolving your consciousness for personal growth and fulfillment. First of all, I want to let our listeners know that not only is this available in Audible, which, by the way, Daniela, I keep referring to my niece. I apologize.
Okay.
Daniela, I have just downloaded into my Audible the book.
Wonderful.
Gliding You Home. And I've also downloaded the Audible of High Performance Without Pain. And one of the things that I want to talk about here and have you share what the dolphins have shared in this regard is that aspect of living in the now in respect to being able to go through the various challenges that each, and I like to refer to them as challenges, not problems, that each of us goes through in varying ways. We all experience exactly the same emotions of happy, sad, love, joy, etc. They're all the same. It's just the level of intensity on a scale of 1 to 10. Today it's 3, tomorrow it's 9, to yesterday it was 1. And being able to not, how do I phrase this? Being able to go ahead and have those emotions, but not get stuck, so that we can listen to, as we encourage people all the time, listen to that still small voice that it has been said will give you the answers to your questions in the questions. In other words, if you're even asking the question, the answer is already there. They shared with me, one gal shared with me on describing my perceptions of my late father. He passed away just about a year ago. And sometimes I start saying things to sort of encourage myself. And I'm going, where did that come from? And I'm thinking, that's probably my dad talking through me, just saying, hey, it's okay, you're doing fine. But a lot of times it's impressions, like when I'm outside working and so forth, and these impressions will come. So I would like for you to talk a little bit about that in regards to this dealing with that inner life that we all, it seems to me, I've heard it said that we all can have these kinds of conversations with in your case, for example, the dolphins, I could have this same communication, or maybe that's not part of my life's purpose to communicate with the dolphins. I'll go to Daniela because she's kind of got the inside track already. I don't need to develop that path, okay? But I have other paths, like the impressions I get from my father, or from, and I like to refer to that still small voice within me, from my friend. Talk to us about that connection and how we can establish those kinds of connections.
You know, if we were to know, and I'm including myself in that mix, how connected we are, we would just be besides ourselves, because we are so connected to all that is ultimately. And of course, you know, my first book, in terms of listening, what you're talking about is a lot about that personal mastery, life mastery, and being able to step out of the conditioning. Of course, our parents have done the best that they could, right? Mm-hmm. So their parents done the best that they could. But we grow up with a big part of familial beliefs, conditioning, behaviors, right? And then, you know, then of course we're thinking, oh, we're so independent. And yet, you know, in self-mastery, oftentimes you go through a big part of undoing everything that has been done so you can become your more authentic self and define mm-hmm. your own self. And so in my first book, High Performance Without Pain, this book here talks mm-hmm. about the seven habits. And it's a and these seven habits, they are for, even though there's a corporate picture on there, they're for anyone. They mm-hmm. are really pillars. And those pillars are, and like I said, this book really is a prelude to the second book, because this is the blueprint on helping us to live, including myself, to live life in a way where we can start to hear who that actually is talking on our inside, right? Mm-hmm. Starting with habit one, presence. Reduce anxiety, pain, and chaos. And what is presence actually, right? How does that apply in my day-to-day life? And why do I disconnect from the here and now, from the mm-hmm. presence, right? So you can start to listen more and more the more you stay connected to all that is, mm-hmm. right?
Are there steps that we can start with, and let's say some of the individuals who are listening, the listeners who are there watching as well, that they could start to incorporate into their lives. What would be that first step to create that connection that they could start to do even now to not only answer the questions that they have about whatever the scenario is, whether it's dealing with finances or relationship or job or whatever it is, but also in terms of opening themselves up to that divine / higher consciousness voice that dwells within them, that is spoken about in pretty much all the ancient wisdom teachings.
Yes. Yes. So there's a multitude of ways, but to keep it really simple, but powerful, when to be able to examine what it is, your beliefs that you are having, and to listing your beliefs and taking a look and realizing, does that belief still apply? Or am I just reactive instead of intentional and mindful about what it is that I am reacting to when a life challenge happens, right? So to be able to really take a look and question that, making a little list of what are these beliefs / limiting beliefs, systems that I am having?
Mm-hmm.
And the other really powerful question that you can ask yourself is, who is believing that question?
Mm. That's a good question. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is believing that question. Oh, the little girl of 5 years ago. Or the victim that has always felt like it's just never good enough, or, you know, my mother always did, or my father always did. And now you're just in reaction there. I mean, it's not real. It's not authentic. It is not in self-mastery.
Mm.
When you just start to become present to that belief that may be in past tense,
mm-hmm.
that then gives you the power to reevaluate, and then you can start pivoting it. You can start to, through intentional mindfulness, you can start when you arrive at this same challenge for the 50th time,
mm-hmm.
you can start to breathe, exhale the old, and inhale the new, and start to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Who is believing this? Who is asking that question?
Danielle Lobuman is my guest, and the title of her book that we're talking about today primarily is Gliding You Home. Boy, that would be nice to just glide on home. It is A Dolphin's Dream of a New Earth, Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential, A Practical Guide to Evolving Your Consciousness for Personal Growth and Fulfillment. And I'm going to just share with you real quickly that, and as I said before, we're all going through stuff. We all are, period. It's whether or not we go through it, I'll put it kind of this way, with our heads held high, knowing, number one, we're doing the best we can. I even wrote a song by that title, I'm a Good Man Doing the Best I Can.
Oh, and I love it.
And that we are not alone. And that it's not a question of misery loves company. That's not it. No, and as a matter of fact, you don't even want to go there. You don't want to go misery loves company. That we can actually find joy even while going through those experiences that might cause a lot of not only emotional distress, but here's, I think, a big kicker. And I think that the pandemic that we all experienced for about 3 or 4 years, I don't know how long, or even if it's still going on for that matter. I know that it's been, you know, it's been called, okay, game over, you know, but, you know, we're still dealing with this, that, and the other thing. But it actually opened some doors for conversations that we weren't having before. And we are now. And one of those is, even though, yeah, I don't know about you, Daniela, but, you know, we were, of course, hearing you might be alone. We're alone together, I guess was the phrase, something along those lines, because we were all supposed to stay, you know, in our domiciles. But finding the joy, finding the peace, even while going through those things, again, remembering you're doing the best you can and so on and so forth. And I think that that's one of the things that you and the dolphins in this case are trying to help us to unlock and have those conversations, have those discussions about what is real. And that kind of leads me to another question. One of my guests talked about, or we were talking, I guess I should say, one of my guests and I were talking about, you know, who we are, who we really are. And to which I said, you know, and at one point, you know, we're going to know who we really are. We're not just going to believe and so forth. He says, no. He says, we're going to know who we have always been. So that would be my question to you from the dolphin perspective, I guess. the information that you've received over this time, who are we really? Are we just a spiritual being having a human experience? Is that it?
They actually, one morning I woke up with that. And with that question, in reference to the book, not even my own personal self, who am I? And they actually gave me an entire paragraph on assisting the human to realize who they are, and it just poured out like you are. And so because they know that is such a pertinent question, and of course the human answers it, well, I am la 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 la, you know, and of course we are so much more than that, right? But we are spirit, we are energy, we are vibration, and it is in the way we learn to direct that energy, that vibration, and to selectively sift it, that we will then align with a different soul group or group of people living on planet Earth, or some of them we disassociate with. We are energy. But the whole book is really, if I'm looking at, there is a part here in the book. In the book, it's called The Voice of Joy Flow. And in that particular component, they talk about the component of being a joy writer, right? Think about it. I am a joy writer. Think about it. If you wake up in the morning and you say, I am Richard, and I am a joyrider, and I love the process of life as I float up and down the stream of life. I am the joy that rides the tide of life.
Well, I tell you, just on a personal level, we could use as individuals, just as individuals, we'll start there. We could use a whole lot more joy. But I will tell you that I find a lot of joy in the things that I do. For example, and I've shared this on many occasions over the last year or so, during last year's, the 2022-23 storm season, where we live, we have a lot of oak trees. Well, one of them fell over last February, a year ago, 2023. It fell over and died. So I'm in the process of harvesting that fire, that wood for our fireplace for the coming season. But while I'm out there, I'm talking to the tree, thanking the tree for its contribution, for its gift, if you will, and so forth, and enjoying the process as well as enjoying being outside. The grasses are all green, growing. I'll have to cut them shortly, but that's another story for another day. But really, just feeling the influx of joy. Maybe it is either from the universe or from Mother Earth, the planet, if you will. Do you know that I've even heard it said that if you could find a really quiet place out in the middle of nowhere, if you can get far enough away from civilization, you can actually hear, it's an audible hum of the earth. It's not electromagnetic anything. It's just the sound of the earth. We have another a guest on our program quite regularly, Jonathan Goldman, and he has shared with us about his experiences with sound healing, for example. It has been said by those who are not, again, those folks who are not really keen on this whole climate change or global warming and what have you, and that they will say, well, you know, the earth does not need to be healed. The earth will take care of itself. Well, what's ironic about that is they are correct, that we still need to do our part. We still need to clean our home. Don't get me wrong. But that the earth has, over the centuries, done just that. You know those gyres they have out in the, specifically in the Pacific Ocean? We call them those garbage gyres. Well, those have always been there. Where's that stuff swirling around? Where's it going? Where is it going? Now, I don't want to be overly graphic here, but it's like a giant toilet bowl. That pipe is going somewhere to where these materials, long before plastics came along, these materials that would end up in the oceans and end up in these gyres would go down into the ocean. Has anybody investigated where they're going? They have to be going somewhere to where the earth will then recycle these things. So like I said before, don't get me wrong, we still need to clean our home, but take a look at what Mother Earth is doing. And it seems to me like some of these volcanic areas, who knows, maybe that process too is going to incinerate some of these garbage, some of this garbage that we have around some of these places. I mean, I don't know that Mount Everest isn't a volcano, and there's a lot of garbage up there. Sadly, a lot of human lives lost as well, but another story for another show. So it's interesting to take a look at the fact that for me and my house, we're doing our part. It doesn't matter if you're not doing your part. I'm still going to do mine. And it also is about cleaning our internal home. Is there a process within your book that talks about that process of clearing out some of the old stuff that we carry around with us that's keeping us from living our potential, living our life's purpose, and living in that state of joy?
Yes, there's many chapters that basically lead into that, from the evolution of humanity to entering the stream, from healing the disconnection to living in the now to tapping into the secret chamber of your being and working with the emotions as the messengers. And then from the patterns no more, which I read a little bit of, right? Mm-hmm. And then there is a whole aspect that talks about the wellspring of being, who you are in your doing, embodying being and acting as your authentic soul self, missioned into action. So there's many components where they talk about the restructuring of the new energy frequency and how that affects you needing to clean up your own house, mm-hmm. internal, external world, sweeping in front of your own door, not your neighbors, right? So they talk a lot about, and they give a lot of processes to how to go about doing that. The book is immersed with so much energy that as people are actually holding it in their hands and reading it, which is again a different experience. And I'm the one that is actually, I recorded the book myself. So the Dolphins wanted me to have my vibration in those words, not somebody else. But when you're reading the book and you're holding it in your hands, there is a flow to it. And many people that have given me testimonials talk about that flow. There's an energy, there's a flow, there's a vibration, there's a hope. But yet with that hope, they're not saying this and this and this is not happening. Mm-hmm. They are just encouraging us to get onto that wave and keep on riding it until we end up arriving in that state of being that makes us feel alive, where we can become the joy rider despite what's happening on planet Earth. And they also talk about in between the paradigms. You know, mm-hmm. what does that look like? Being in between the paradigms and losing your mind. Losing your mind in the sense of what you thought was so, and it no longer is, right? That happened. It actually happened to me, where many things that I thought were so just it disintegrated, and suddenly you're like, you're in between the paradigms, you're floating between this state and this state, and you're really not anchored in either till you integrate it. But At the end, they finish with swimming in the stream, a new earth as one. And of course, it all starts with vision. The vision, not just the external vision. And, you know, if it were to be as simple as putting on using binoculars or magnifying glasses, but our inner vision, really sharpening our sensory perceptiveness, our ears, inner and outer, our vision, inner and outer, our feeling state, our sensory perceptiveness, which is why many of us that are going through this evolutionary process very consciously, the nervous system is recalibrating and you end up feeling these different states of high or low or nausea or aches, or this is different than autoimmune disease. This is not quite the same thing, but it may feel that way. But it's because the nervous system is being recalibrated so it can start to hold and move through the density of the old way of being human. So we can start to swim in that new stream as one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of work to be done on ourselves. And I think that's a very important aspect that we might want to touch upon before we wrap things up here. And that is that this is all about right now, right now. This is more about self than it is about the collective, if you will, because what will happen, and I've used this terminology, this phrase before, it is the details that will make you or break you. And right now, when you talk about humanity, when you talk about the planet, the collective, if you will, that's not the details. The details is me. The details is you. And I have to take care of me. And in turn, I suppose, like the butterfly effect, it will have an impact, an effect, a change on the collective. And I think that what you're doing through the work you're doing, especially through gliding you home, is providing that opportunity. A dolphin's dream of a new earth, unlocking your spiritual potential. And it's a practical guide to evolving your consciousness for personal growth and fulfillment. I do want to let folks know that you also have obviously this series of books that you have on your website. In regards to planning without pain, that aspect and so forth. But also, you have a rather unique how do I put it? They're cards. Can you talk to us a little bit about what
oh,
is
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be that? Happy. I'd be happy to even pull a card for today.
Oh well, let's do it.
Yes. So we created when I started to write the book High Performance Without Pain, which was really a culmination of my coaching work of probably the past 25 years of experience. I ended up feeling that folks needed to have the workbook of the book and then also the planner in order to create an entire organizational system to start to create a flow state, meaning high performance without pain, right? So I ended up creating the Compassionate Liberation for the High Performer Daily Alignment Cards. Mm-hmm. And they're based on the book, the first book, High Performance Without Pain. They're 8 cards per those 7 habits.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just pull a card? And they are they're not tarot cards. They're very practical cards. Mm-hmm. For example, here is a card, Judgment Awareness of Habits 2. And this is production. It's an authentic life, scene, vibrant life, role, my own, date, every day. And it says, when do I feel I'm not playing a role? When I trust myself and my feelings, I always know. So that's just an example, but let me just pull a card for the show today.
Okay. These are called daily alignment cards, folks, and they are what she refers to as a compassionate liberation for the high performer. So I may have to get myself a set of those cards as well. And before she shares with us the card, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is you have, in addition to the audibles to High Performer, as well as the Gliding You Home, she has a guided mindfulness meditations that are available through her website, which we will be linked to. And again, that website is Vibrate Living. Okay, we're going to have to go back over here to get the correct deal there. It is vibrantlivingnow.org. That's vibrantlivingnow.org. All right. So what card did you pull for the program?
So this is the card that I pulled. Can you see it all right?
I can see the card, but you'll have to describe it.
Okay. So it is a lady driving in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I think you can see it right there.
I see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's Habit 7, and Habit 7 in the book is patience and transformation of the ego. Imagine that, right?
There's no ego here. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, that's scary. If somebody says they don't have it, you really have to watch that one.
Exactly.
Right. So here it says, the question to you, to us, to the listener is, what will happen if I relax my need to drive and do, and instead self-regulate my doing with the power of my being?
Mm.
Just all take a deep breath on that one.
Mm.
So your eyes and just breathe into your belly. And as you do, drop from your head, mind chatter, into your heart and body as you exhale. And again, the question is, what will happen if I relax my need to drive and do, and instead self-regulate my doing with the power of my being?
I will say that one of the first impressions that comes is to do that and listen to that still small voice, because that gets me out of my ego.
Yes. Yes. So the cards are designed to help with judgment awareness. They're designed with compassionate action. Here's the compassionate hero. Mm-hmm. Instead of the inner critic. And they basically, here's a card on presence and how to maximize it.
Mm.
So they are pretty much for any area of life, personally and professionally. A lot of my corporate clients are using these cards to help them break the spell of automaticity or of autopilot.
Mm.
And from mindfulness into mindfulness, right? Like here's acceptance and belonging, habit 3. And this card is, with self-acceptance, I give myself space to grow and have total freedom to become myself.
Hmm. I heard an interesting description of a real, I'll call it, a real relationship. You know, we talk about relationships of all kinds, whether it be work or casual or intimate, and talking about, of course, the pet peeves, that kind of thing, over the course of years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, that 7 year itch, and then going beyond that. And one of the things that actually was raised was that when you go beyond that, because having those pet peeves, you're in your ego, you're in your personality. But when you get out of your ego, again, doing what you have offered and suggested to us, there are none. That again, you recognize that you and the other person or persons, you're all on the same path. I guess the best way to describe it is the way I view when I'm driving here in California. I have to stop myself and say, hey, that person or those people, whatever, they're doing the same thing I am. They're just trying to get from point A to point B. Whether they're on autopilot or otherwise or other distractions, what have you, the point is they are trying to do exactly the same thing I am. So, in a manner of speaking, cut them some slack. So maybe down the road, if you do something that you're not being conscious of, they'll cut you some slack as well. You know, the whole karmic thing, if you will. And so in relationships, it's kind of the same way. Get out of, obviously, the victim, which I have to be honest with you, back in the 80s, I went through several personal growth and development programs, starting with one called LifeSpring in 1981 and several others after that. And at that time, we were in victimhood. This was in the early 80s. This is mom and dad's fault that I am the way that I am. Then we went to codependency. We learned about that. Then we moved to interdependency, which was freedom from victimhood, freedom from codependency, and recognizing our level of responsibility and so on and so forth for our own lives. And then all of a sudden, in 2015, we were right back to victimhood. And I said, I'm not going to play that game. You know, you want to say that, you know, it's their fault that we are where we are? No, it's not. We, you know, if you choose to, you know, believe this, we are where we are because of what we have done. I am where I am because of what I have done. I take responsibility. I wish that collectively we would start to take responsibility, and instead of blaming one group or one person or what have you for what ails us, if you will, what bothers us and that kind of stuff. And I'm thankful for you bringing this, all of this. Well, I'm thankful for you and the dolphins for bringing this to our attention through vibrantlivingnow.org, gliding you home, a dolphin's dream of a new earth. And again, and the new earth starts within each one of us, unlocking your spiritual potential, a practical guide to evolving your consciousness for personal growth and fulfillment. We hope that you folks will pick up a copy of Daniela Buhman's book and all of the other things that she has to offer there. I'm going to have to get a copy of those cards. I'll have to get a set of those cards, as well as order the mindfulness meditation audio. And they're actually downloads, which is, I have to tell you, Daniela, it is amazing to me, having been in this business for almost 45 years, since I was 19 in 1979, the changes just in technology that I am aware of. We used to put things on reel to reel, and then on cassette, and then vinyl. I mean, there was vinyl before that, of course, but we even had programmers that would provide us programs on vinyl, which was amazing. Then it went to CDs, and now it's just files, and it's just incredible. And I'm also grateful for the fact that you took it upon, well, I shouldn't say you took it upon yourself. You were guided to record these two books. And so we're very grateful for that. Do you also conduct the meditations, the guided meditations?
I do.
Wonderful.
It's a big part of my coaching practice with my one-on-one clients in Redlands downtown. Of course, I do Zoom sessions internationally, but when I do a keynote or I speak or I do a workshop, I very much include the meditative component in order to help the human to pivot the energy and to drop from the monkey mind into the power of heart and body wisdom, because that's where we connect to the all of what we are.
I wish we could find another animal for instead of monkey mind, because I got to tell you, I don't think monkeys really do appreciate what we
probably don't.
If
well,
only, If only we could if only we could transform our minds into the dolphin mind. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, but I think it's, you know, I'm very much an animal lover. I'm a PETA member and I sign many, many, many petitions on a weekly basis. I have them almost on auto to do that. But, you know, to not to be negative toward the monkeys, but it's, I always picture, you know, when they're in a zoo kind of setting and there's bananas, right? And they're all over, you know, that kind of situation. And hence, those are the thoughts.
Yeah, no, and I understand. I do understand. And it's just an interesting, humorous point perspective. I am thrilled to remind you folks that the website once again is Vibrant Living Now. You heard me right. I said now, vibrantlivingnow.org. And we certainly hope that you'll go to her website, which again, we will be linked to, where you can also hear these programs, these podcasts, video casts as well on the various locations. I'll give you that information in just a moment. And I thank you so much for being with us here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are wrapping things up here, unfortunately, because we can't go on indefinitely, but we can certainly have our very special guest, Daniela Boumin, back to talk more about and have a greater conversation, maybe about this whole aspect of the high performer, high performance without pain conversation, as well as some of the other things that she provides for us and some of the teachings that she could probably bring to us. She offers a transformational steps to let go of old paradigms and embrace new consciousness. Well, this program is about new paradigms for a new world. So I think we're on track with you, Daniela, and also inspiration for creating a new world of unity, belonging, and vibrant living. And so we hope that folks will check out the work that you are doing. I want to thank you so much for being a part of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and for sharing your insights into this new world that we're all trying to create in the best way we can. And I know everybody has a different vision. I understand that. That's okay. If we're working to, as I've said before, because there's always room for improvement, if that's what we're looking for, hey, let's all continue to work together, do our part, do what little that we're being given to do, such as you, Daniela, to continue that. I do have three final questions, though, I want to ask you that I ask all of my guests. But before I do that, I want to thank you for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We are here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., Wednesdays at 9 a.m. That's our special edition of Tell Me Your Story. And Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m., and that's 9 programs, 9 topics, 9 guests, 9 different conversations that you can tune into, and I hope you will, as well as going to our SoundCloud or iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music locations for the podcast, or go to YouTube where you can watch these conversations. Select subscribe and notifications so that the next time that a conversation is posted by yours truly, you'll be notified and you'll be able to tune in and listen into that conversation. We also ask that if you can support the work we're doing financially, we would be gratefully appreciated. Any amount is gratefully appreciated, as well as energetic support. We'll take that as well and put it to good use, I promise you. We have a PayPal account. It's there for your security as well as ours. And when they ask you for the email address to whom you're sending, put richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And also spend some time during this decade of perfect vision to go within, to that quiet, peaceful, calm, still place, and listen to that still small voice and get that guidance that we all can use, and get the support for you, who you are and what you're all about. Once again, we're all doing the best we can with what we have, and we can be given more, but just remember to whom much is given, much is also expected. So take that on. It'll just be coming, keep coming your way. Just let it flow on through, and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful world for all of us. With all of that being said, I want to ask of my guests those three questions that I ask all of my guests. And the first of those three is, who is Daniela Bowman?
She is an energy that is here to spread joy and expand the evolution of humanity.
What is it that gets you up in the morning?
My purpose.
And finally, what was your best day?
You know, that's funny. What comes to me literally is my birth. You know, I think I was very eager to come out, and I was born at home with a midwife, small, very small town in Switzerland of a little over 250 people. My dad went to go boil water, and I guess by the time he was back, I was out. And my mom said, "You were like ready to go, let me out of here." You know, and it's that, that's such an innocent, childlike fun and joy and passion to it. Just when you asked me that question, literally immediately I went to that, which was very interesting. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And I've so much enjoyed being part of the show. Thank you so much, Richard, for having me. And, you know, I love being part of this and sharing with our listeners. And I do hope they'll find some value in what we've both shared.
And I feel the same way. And again, thank you so much. And I thank you for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until our next broadcast, podcast, videocast, love to law. Jeanette, I am still listening. Dad, continue to be happy because I am. Smokey, I'll see you on the other side. And to my dear friend Zorro, aho, aho.